Along with announcements made by Brother Law, I want you to know how much I appreciate your presence today, that we've come together to worship the Lord. Appreciate so much our visitors and encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. If you have your Bible, if you'll be turning to 2 Samuel chapter 21, that's where we'll begin in just a moment, 2 Samuel chapter 21. Someone has asked me about Brother Hester's coat, and I don't know how he got in my closet, but I'm going to find out. I'm proud of Brother Hester. He's sharp today. 2 Samuel 21, if you will, look with me at verse 10. Now Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, took sackcloth and spread it for herself on the rock from the beginning of harvest until the late rains poured on them from heaven, and she did not allow the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the air field by night. Now, keep your finger there, if you would, and turn with me to the New Testament, to the book of John and the 19th chapter. In the book of John and the 19th chapter, I'd like for you to look with me beginning at verse 25. John 19, beginning at verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. In the two readings I just read in your hearing, you find two mothers in somewhat similar situations. You'll find both of these women have climbed a hillside to be near their sons as they died a very cruel death. And when you look at these two mothers, you'll find they're with their children as their children experience what could be called cruel and torturous experiences. And yet from these two sad scenes, I believe we see a great picture of a mother's love. And what I'd like to do for just a few moments of our time is examine a mother's love seen from two hillsides and then make some application to our life, and the lesson is yours. The first thing I want us to do is go back to 2 Samuel 21 and look at this woman identified as Rizpah. And what do we know about this woman? Well, we recognize in 2 Samuel 21 that a famine had come in the land in verse 1. And that famine had been going on year after year for about 3 years. And David inquired of the Lord why this famine had occurred. And God replied it was due to the things that Saul had done to the Gibeonites. And without going into a long detailed study, you remember that Joshua had made a covenant with the Gibeonites and Saul had violated that covenant. And thus God is bringing reproach upon the people of Israel because of the actions of Saul, and there was this famine. So David goes to the Gibeonites and asks what can be done to repay them for the evil Saul had done. And notice how the Gibeonites respond. They're not interested in silver or gold. They're not interested in riches. But what they want is payment. And what they say is, "Give us 7 men of Saul's descendants, and we will hang them on the hillside." I want you to recognize they want their pound of flesh. They want their vengeance. And notice that David did according to their request. However, amongst the 7 of the men given to the Gibeonites, you'll find 2 were of the sons of the woman identified as Rizpah, who was a concubine of Saul. And I've often thought about the feeling in her heart when she heard 2 of her sons were going to be put to death. Not because they did anything, but because of the action of their father. And thus, we see this woman going to the hillside with her sons. But then if you take your Bible, go back to the book of John and the 19th chapter, and you'll find Mary on a mountainside. And we see where they take Jesus up the hill called Golgotha, the place of the skull. And here you find on Calvary's cruel hill, they're going to crucify Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you find that people show hatred. You see the people show cruelty. And you remember they cried out for his death. Crucify! Can you imagine how terrible it would be for a mother to hear people cry out for the death of her son? Can you imagine the feeling in the heart of a mother when they take that son and they scourge him and beat him and they put the crown of thorns upon his head and they mock him and belittle him, humiliate him and nail him to a cross and they watch him die? And there Mary stood. And I've often tried to imagine in my mind Rizpah as she watches her sons upon the hillside and as she tries to take care of them, and Mary standing at the foot of the cross where they've taken her son and they're watching them kill her only one. Now then, that brings up a thought in our study. What do we see on these two hillsides? I think there are many things we can see. We see many things, but let us see a mother's love and watch these two women closely. First of all, in 2 Samuel 21, we see a mother's love tried. Have you ever thought that Rizpah stopped to take care of her children? I don't know the age of her sons. They may have been full grown. But here they were, and she stopped her life to think about, how can I take care of them? And here her boys, the Bible doesn't say was involved in the deeds of Saul, yet they suffered the consequences of his sin. And notice what the Bible says. She sat there and made sure no wild animal would come and devour them. This was after they had died. She protected the bodies. As the bodies decayed, she didn't want the birds to come and eat the decaying corpse. So she would take sackcloth and cover the bodies, and she would watch over the bodies. And notice how long she did that. It said in verse 10, from the beginning of harvest until the late rains poured out. I want you to recognize that was a long time that woman lived on that hillside watching over the bodies of her son. And I thought about, here she was watching them and caring for him even after they had given up the spirit. But then if you have your Bible, look at Mary. Have you ever thought that Mary's love was tried? If you take your Bible, look in the book of Luke and the second chapter. In the book of Luke and the second chapter, you remember that Simeon was talking to Mary. And he said in verse 34, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Now then, look at that. A sword will pierce through your soul. When did that happen? When she stood at Calvary. Now, I recognize Mary had other children. I recognize she had other sons and daughters. But can you imagine the feeling in her heart when they took Jesus, her oldest, when they took him and they put him on the cross? Can you imagine what she must have felt like to look up and see her son being put to death, knowing he's innocent of all the charges they brought against him? And I imagine that both Rizpah and Mary, as they watched their sons die, they may have thought back through the years when their sons were little and playing and learning at their father's side how to be a good Jewish child. And now they're watching them die before their eyes. Can you imagine your mother's love being tried? Can you imagine as these mothers witnessed this event in their life? But that brings up a second thought. Do you not only see that their love was tried, but do you see they had unselfish love? Rizpah did not ask for anything in return. Her sons had nothing to offer. In fact, they'd already died, and she continued to watch over their bodies as they hung there. They could do nothing in return for their mother's love. And look at Mary, how unselfish she was at the cross. She was not ashamed of her son. Everyone else had forsaken except Mary, the three Marys we find in John 19, and John. All the others were afar off. But she wasn't ashamed. And notice what Jesus says in John 19 when he looks down at his mother. He sees her standing there And he says to John, the disciple whom he loved, "Woman, behold thy son." And then he says, then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Have you ever thought that he's saying, "Get her away from here. I don't want her to see me in this condition." And so I think about a mother's love being unselfish. And what sacrifice a mother is willing to make for her child, no matter their age. But then I want you to think about a third love. When you look at a mother's love, you see a self-denying love. When you look on those hillsides, you see mothers denying self. Rispah had left her home, journeyed to this barren hillside where the two bodies of her sons were hanging, and she spreads the sackcloth like a tent to protect their bodies. And she did it for months. Day and night she protected them from the beast of the field. And you think of the danger she faced while doing that. That's what you call undying love. That's what you call unselfish love. That's what you call self-denying love. That's what you can call a mother's love. But look at Mary. Have you ever thought that she faced great danger being at the cross? She had been called an adulteress. Remember, they looked at Jesus on one occasion and said, "We weren't born out of fornication like you." She'd been insulted. She'd suffered as the mother of Jesus. And yet you see self-denying love as they treat her son as a criminal and they put him on that cross, and yet she loved on. But that brings up another thought in our spirit. Have you ever thought how sad it is to see their grief? Have you ever stopped to think about how heartbreaking it was to see these two mothers weep and feel helpless as they watch their sons die? Now then, I want to take that. I want to make applications to our life and the lessons yours. The first thing I want us to recognize is that some are not blessed with such a mother. And this morning, if you have a mother that is godly, and if you have a mother that is concerned about you, if you have a mother that shows you love, you ought to be thankful. For 30 years, my parents kept foster children, and there were children that had been beaten and mistreated, not just by their fathers, but by their mothers. And many times, I'm fearful that we live in a day and time where there are many who don't see the love of a mother. And so if your mother is one that shows you concern, and is a mother that shows you right from wrong, and is one that tries to teach you and bring you up in the admonition of the Lord, I'll tell you what you need to be is thankful. Because there are a lot of people who do not have such a mother. But I want you to think about those mothers that are trying. And I want you to think about today, a mother's love is tried in many ways. I've often thought about how many mothers weep at night, not because their son's being put to death on a hill, but because their child is living wrong and they're in the far country away from that which is what they need to be doing. And I think about how many mothers would do whatever they could to get their child to live right for the Lord. I think about how a mother's love can be put to the test. I think about how when they look out and see how others can mistreat their children, that can test the love of a mother. You ever seen a child be bullied or a child be mistreated by others? And I think about parents when they see that, how that can go through them. Because what they want is to have their child treated fairly and kindly. But I'll tell you, there's a third thing. When untimely death comes, that is a trying time for a mother's beloved. I believe all mothers would agree that their love is often tried. But secondly, mothers today need to have the same kind of love Rispah and Mary had. Unselfish love. Sometimes we get so caught up in our world that we do not do the things we need to with our children. And sometimes what happens is our children grow up without a mother and father showing them the kind of love that is unselfish. Children do not spell love with T-H-I-N-G-S. They spell it with T-I-M-E. Things will not show them love. Time will. And when I spend time with my child, and when I spend time showing them I love them, even when they are being rebellious and I show them my care for them, I understand that a mother's love is unselfish. It's abundant. But I'll tell you a third thing. Ever notice a mother's love can be self-denying? Ever notice that a mother will deny self of many things to do for their children? They make sacrifices. And many children think about what they have to enjoy because of a mother's love. I'll never forget when I was growing up how many times my mother made a sacrifice so the children could have some. Her clothes might have a hole in them, and yet she's out there buying new clothes for the children. And I think about how a mother's love can be self-denying and persistent. You ever thought that a mother will stand beside a child when no one else will? You take an old fellow who's went out here and murdered somebody and done all kinds of ungodly things. His wife won't say anything to him. His children won't say anything to him. But you can show him in the court and you know who'll be sitting right behind him? Mama. Sometimes a mama's love is so deep. But I need to remember it can cause grief. When children fail to show respect, when they go out and bring reproach upon the name of their family and their mothers, I think about the grief. I think about the grief when I go to a nursing home and I see mothers there who haven't seen their children in a long time and their love goes unnoticed and unappreciated. I'll tell you one thing. If you still have your mother and your father, never be ashamed to tell them you love them. Because one of these days you'll turn around and they'll be gone. And I'd do anything to be able to tell my mother again I love her. And sometimes what happens is we just take for granted that love until it's not there. How do you react to a mother's love? But as great as her love is, I want us to remember this as we close. God's love is even greater than a mother's love. I've often thought on the day of judgment, if I had to stand before anybody, who would I want to stand before? And I always thought I'd like to stand before my mother. Now the Bible says I'm going to stand before God. But I thought, who could be more merciful to me than my mother? And I'll tell you. My Heavenly Father. And sometimes we don't see that side of our God. Open your Bible, if you will, to Isaiah 66 and notice what Isaiah had to say as he is writing at the end of his letter. Isaiah is going to be sawn in half not too long after this, and yet Isaiah wants people to know about the love of God. And notice what he says in verse 12. Behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then you shall feed. On her sides shall you be carried, and be dandled on her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Look at the love of God. As a mother's love. But even more than that. You see, while Mary was watching her physical son die, Jesus was the only begotten of the Father. And the Father was watching His Son die. You want to know how much God loves us? Look at the cross through Mary's eyes. And I'll tell you what, my friend. If you can look at those two hillsides and not be touched by a mother's love, then your heart is hard. But if you can look at Calvary and not be touched at the sacrifice Jesus was willing to pay to save you from sin, that's a heart that needs to be tenderized. And the only thing that will tenderize it is by going to the Word of God. And so this morning I ask you one question. Do you see the love of God? If you need to be obedient to the gospel or be restored to Christ, we pray you come as together we stand and stand.